If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts, chapter 20. I want to begin reading verse 1 through 12. Read along there silently as I read to you, please, in chapter 20 of the book of Acts. We have a story today of a faithful man who fell asleep, or I should say a young man, who fell asleep while Paul was preaching and fell out of a window and died. I've already seen two or three people yawning this morning. And I'll be glad to fall on top of you and pray for you, but I don't know if you're going to get raised from the dead if you fall out and hit your head and die. So be careful. Chapter 20, verse 1. After the uproar was ceased, Paul embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. That means he preached the gospel to them. He preached the word. He preached Christ is the Messiah, risen from the dead, the Savior for all who believe. And there he abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius and of Derbe, and Timotheus and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, not Monday. Bible, Sunday's first day of the week. We think about Monday as first day of the week because it's time to go to work. But biblically, Sunday's first day of the week. The Sabbath was the last day of the week. And the disciples began to meet on Sunday because Christ was risen from the dead on Sunday, first day of the week. He says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And y'all think I'm long-winded if I go past 12 o'clock? And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. The Greek language expresses this in such a way that it means he, over a process of the time, slumped into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten and taken a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Let's pray. Fathers, look into your word today. I ask that you'll guide me as I speak. I want to help your people, and I want the lost to be saved. We pray for the Holy Spirit to have liberty to work in our midst. Help our minds to be focused upon you. Help us to be people alike in our faith, to believe you today, to believe the Bible's the Word of God, and it has the authority for us. And we look to you today and ask for your help. Pray you'll bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, first of all, Paul is, if you'll remember from chapter 18, verse 23, he's now on his third missionary journey. He spent 18 months at Corinth and 3 years at Ephesus, teaching and preaching that Jesus is risen from the dead and that he's the Savior of all who believe, and he's the Messiah, or the word Christ is what we call him, of the Jewish people. In Acts 10, 42 and 43, Peter preached the gospel of Jesus Christ at Cornelius' house. Paul is preaching the gospel everywhere that he goes. He's telling people about the Lord. He leaves Ephesus for Macedonia in chapter 20 and verse 1 and 2. And along the way, he's giving much exhortation, meaning he's preaching as much as is possible where he stops and where he travels from one place to another. At Antioch of Pisidia, is a part of Asia Minor of that day, is it today found in the country of Turkey. He was in Antioch of Syria in chapter 11 of the book of Acts. That's where the disciples were first called Christians. And then he and Barnabas went on the missionary journeys from there. The Holy Spirit moved them to separate Barnabas and Paul for the work that the Lord had called them to, and they went on the missionary journeys. Now they're on the third missionary journey. And Paul has left Ephesus with some, though he had great success, and though he convinced many of the truth, there were still many, especially of the Jews there in Ephesus, that hardened their hearts, speaking evil of the way. And we said last week in the message that the way became a connotation of Christianity. It became the way of Christianity. It became the way, became an expression that was used in early Christians. And Paul had the Jews speak evil of the way. Christianity is all about the choices that people make. We hear the gospel message, we are presented with a truth from God that we must make a decision to believe or to reject. There really is no middle ground. One either accepts that the Bible is the Word of God and the message of Jesus Christ is true and is to be believed with all our heart, or one is rejecting the Lord's Word. People all over make that decision. Sadly, they made it in Paul's day. I can't imagine, I mean, if somebody leaves the church and rejects Christ from my preaching, I feel very bad about it. But comparing myself to the Apostle Paul, I can only imagine the ignorance on the part of people to turn away from the preaching of the Apostle Paul and the message that was presented unto them, the good news of the gospel message. Good news of how one can be saved from their sins. Good news on how one can have a home in heaven. Good news of how we can be delivered from the power of sin that it has over us. Good news that we can learn and grow through the Word of God and understand the Bible because the Spirit enlightens us to have understanding of the Scriptures. It's like the cartoons where when a person has an idea and they show a light bulb above their head, when people get saved, God turns the light on with the Bible so we can have understanding of what it means. People make choices all the time. A person has to choose to believe on Christ in order to be saved. They have to choose after they're saved to separate from sinful living and choose to grow in their knowledge of the Lord and choose baptism and church. These are all choices that are left up to us, that we can choose to obey God's Word or we can choose to reject it. And sadly, many do choose to reject it still today. We must choose to continue in the faith. How many of you have been members of this church for 15 years or longer? Raise your hand. Pretty good sized crowd, isn't it? How many have been members here for at least 5 years? Not those who just raised their hand. Others for at least 5 years. Okay. Covers about 80 or 90% of the people. You have continued, not because I'm a great preacher, but because you love the Lord, because you love the Bible, because this is a place where you know the Word of God is honored and we seek to teach and preach the Bible. And we're imperfect people, as any church is, but we are trying to do the right thing. And so you feel comfortable being a part of this church, inviting a visitor here, serving here, raising your children here because of the Sunday school teachers and the junior church and the Wednesday night program, which, by the way, just had their last service this past Wednesday night. So we don't have Master Club during the summer. It runs concurrent with the school year. But the Brother Joe is going to head up. He and Sharon will help with our kids for this summer because we won't have the Master Club program in the summer, and they'll be helping with the kids on Wednesday night so that we have something for them in place of Master Club. Now, over the course of time, Paul had the heartbreak of seeing some turn away. You'll remember in Acts 13 and verse 13, he spoke of John Mark. Whether it was the hardship of the journey, being away from home, being a young man, whatever his decision to help his uncle Barnabas and the apostle Paul, his main job would have been to carry the luggage. You know, he was a servant to them on their journey. And he left and departed from them because the contention developed between he and Barnabas. When they got ready to go on their second journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. And Paul did not want to take him because he had departed from them before. We're thankful to learn later Paul sends for John Mark, who's profitable for the ministry. So whatever reason, he cleared that up and came back in his service for the Lord. But 2 Timothy 4:10, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas made a choice in his love for the world rather than his love for God. You see, it's all about choices. You've chosen to continue to come to church. You've chosen to be here today. Some of you are tired. Some of you worked hard all week long and maybe yesterday. And maybe you don't sleep as good. How many of you are on CPAP machines? Raise your hand. About 10 of you. I'm supposed to be, but I'm not. Reason I couldn't finish the test. Drove all the way to Columbia in the middle of the night with a motorcycle, and they kicked me out at 2 a.m. because I couldn't pass the test. I couldn't go to sleep with the thing blowing air up my nose, you know. It just shut my sinuses down. I said, I can't go to sleep. They said, well, leave. I said, what do you mean leave? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm riding a motorcycle. I was driving all the way back in Columbia at 2 o'clock in the morning. Didn't have anything but a T-shirt on. You learn your lesson sometimes, you know. Carry a coat when you go out of town, you know. Well, you know, people without those that need them don't sleep as good, probably, you know. And it takes a while to get used to those to sleep with them. And if you don't clean them properly, then you'll have sinus infections and all that kind of thing. So I know that you work hard. You got lots of things to do. Your mind's on other things a lot of times. And it's tough, but you chose to be here anyway. You made a choice when you got up to come to the house of God. Brother Don sitting back there on the back in this month, in a couple weeks or less, he'll have a back surgery that'll take 2 days. They're going to put rods in his spine and screws into his spine and all that sort of thing. And it's a major, major back operation, and it'll take a while to get over. But he's here. He's kept going. He's been faithful. Mrs. Spur is home today, not feeling well, and she comes with the naps, and she had a backache and didn't come today. We remember her in our prayers. And folks come to church because they make a choice to come. Now, we don't want you spreading anything that can be spread to other people, airborne viruses and coughs and all that kind of thing. We don't want you to come when you're that sick and have that kind of problem. But when you just don't feel good, you know what? You won't feel any worse when you come to church than you would if you stayed at home. And so the old expression got to be in the business world for their workers, crawl in, don't call in. You know, don't call in and say, I'm sick, I can't come. You know, crawl on in here and work. And people in church be the same way. We should want to be here. And if you do come, you usually feel better that you came than you would have if you'd stayed at home. And you won't have that guilt trip laid upon you. Paul's preaching. He saw the importance of preaching the Word of God. At Ephesus, some hardened their hearts and refused to repent, refused to believe on Christ. Therefore, they refused baptism and church membership. It was a choice that they made, and people are still making that choice today. Paul said preaching is important, and people make a decision and a choice when you preach to them to believe or to reject. Paul's words at Rome reflect importance on his preaching. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? and how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10, verse number 14. He said to Timothy to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. He said to preach with all authority and doctrine. He emphasized continuously the importance of the preaching of the word of God. Sadly, churches today don't share that commitment to the preaching of the word of God. I quote from Dr. John MacArthur. There's a dearth of biblical sound preaching, creating a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but as Amos said, a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. Today's pulpits come the uncertain sounds of psychology, relational chit-chat, social commentary, storytelling, shallow homilies, political rhetoric. Many view preaching as a problem rather than the solution that God has called for. While many downplay the significance of biblical preaching, it is nonetheless vital to a spiritually strong church. The preacher represents Christ to the people, reinforcing the concept of authority and submission within the body of Christ. Turning the church into a therapy group or an entertainment center undermines the authority of the Word of God. Strong biblical preaching also upholds the authority of God's Word. And he said the New Testament repeatedly stresses the importance of preaching, as Paul wrote to Timothy and to Titus, reminding of this. And biblical preaching has been the catalyst of every great revival in church history. The church fathers took the baton from the apostles, and through their preaching, Christianity conquered the Roman Empire. There was the preaching of the great reformers, the time of Luther and Calvin and Knox and Zwingli during the Reformation, the powerful preaching of those who came after them, was in the Puritan revivals of the 17th century. And in the 18th century, the results with Wesley and Whitfield and Edwards, and going on to Spurgeon and others, McLaren, and those who preached the Bible and had results of thousands of converts, of people being saved in those ages of time. Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Philip preached in Samaria, and a great revival broke out. Peter preached the gospel to the Gentiles, and then Paul took up the mantle when the Lord saved him on the Damascus Road and preached the gospel. Preaching is important, and when you study the Bible, you cannot help but see that continuously in the Scriptures. Some will harden their hearts. Some will reject. Some will make the choice not to believe. And that's a sad commentary. It's sad if our lives don't reveal changed lives by those who have believed that others might believe. Secondly, he moves on giving exhortation where he can throughout Macedonia. Paul was clearly strong in biblical preaching, and he equipped the saints by his preaching. He created unity among those that believed and submitted themselves for baptism and to assemble together, forming into a church. They made choices and they continued. Bible preaching exalts the authority of the Word of God, and that is being attacked in the world today, that people reject the Bible. Many of you, until you were up in age some, if you're my age or close, you probably never even heard of an atheist until you got up in age somewhat. I mean, we grew up in public schools that had devotions and the pledges and teacher-led in prayer, and there was a chapel every so often in the school where the Bible teacher came in, and that was in the public school system. But times have changed. In higher education, you began to hear of all these professors that were atheists and denied the Lord and the Bible. The Bible alone contains the faith that's once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3 in verse 3. Paul emphasized the importance of it to Timothy and to Titus. He said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And today, sadly, there are many churches that are changing the focus away from the preaching and teaching of the Bible to various forms of entertainment, fellowship, sports and music and all that sort of thing takes high priority over the preaching of the Word of God. Today, instead of feeding the flock, there are major denominations that are fleecing the flock. And their emphasis is all about money, all about marketing strategies. Some of these TV preachers don't even need a salary from the church where they pastor because they sell so many CDs and books and things they are writing that they have become immensely wealthy. Today, some of them are buying multi-million dollar jets. I understand some was on the news just this weekend about one particular preacher who owns 3 jets. He considers himself an evangelist, not a pastor of a church. And he's on TV and he travels around that word of faith circuit. And so he's got a jet and his wife's got a jet and they got a backup jet in case they need another jet. And not counting that, he owns several airplanes. And not counting that, he owns a mansion that you can't hardly even put a price on and his own airport and all that sort of thing. All of that's been given by widow women taking their Social Security and sending him money over the promises he's given to them that they'll be taken care of because of that. Living in mansions today in honor of the one who had no place to lay his head. Churches have begun to get a problem from the IRS because of having parsonages that cost $10 million. And they want tax exemption for them because they're a parsonage. And that is causing the IRS to come down on all churches about taxation of property. Churches like that are driven by the marketing philosophy and the preaching takes back seat to everything else that they do. Thirdly, Paul is trying to head to Jerusalem. Look at chapter 20 and verse 6 and 7. They sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, came to Troas 5 days, and there they abode 7 days. And Paul is on his journey trying to get to Jerusalem, so he's not staying long. He's not staying like 18 months in Corinth, not staying like 3 years in Ephesus. He's staying just a matter of days. And here at Troas, he's ready to depart on the morrow. So on the first day of the week when they come together, he's planning to leave Monday and sail so he can get to Jerusalem. And so he decides to give them the whole load of all of his theology in that one message that he's going to preach on that one Sunday. He's expecting to move on quickly. And we find from the whole story, he stays till daybreak of the next day. His sermon gets cut short because of an event that took place that got everybody's attention. A young man named Eutychus who fell out of the window and was dead. His name, Eutychus, means well-fated or fortunate. He was the fortunate one who fell out of the window and died. But where he was fortunate was the Apostle Paul and the power of God raised him from the dead. Don't you know that young man made a choice because of that to serve the Lord, knowing the power of God, knowing what God did to deliver him that day? He first falls into a deep sleep and then falls to his death. Paul is long-winded. It wouldn't have been hard for probably anybody to fall asleep like that. I go to these pastors' meetings once a month, and we eat lunch, and then we start a business meeting at 12:30, and then the preaching starts at 1 o'clock, and we have 3 preachers, sometimes 4, sometimes a singer and things of that nature. And I promise you, about the second preacher that gets up to preach, I'm doing all I can do to stay awake. I'm struggling. It's a lot, 3 or 4 hour drive or sometimes 5 hour drive. And all of that combined, you're tired. And when you're tired, you can fall asleep. If the preaching's boring, you can fall asleep a lot quicker. Some of you don't need a CPAP machine. You just need one of my sermons on CD and put it in there when you get ready to go to bed at night and you fall asleep. But Paul's long-winded. And Eutychus falls asleep. But don't think ill of Eutychus. Eutychus was in the right place, just like you're in the right place today. You made a choice to be here. That young man made a choice. There are two different Greek words that are used to describe him as being a young man. And Greek scholars believe the word paes, which means child, probably shows this young man was somewhere between 8 and 14 years of age. He had probably traveled to get here. He may have slept out while traveling. He's could have been a servant who had to work before going to sit in the window and listen to the Apostle Paul preach. It was a big thing for an evangelist to come to town and speak, and people didn't have TV and radio and all of that sort of thing. And so they came out to hear the Apostle Paul speak. His reputation had no doubt preceded him well before he got here. And this young man decided to come and listen, and this young man had to find a place. There were seats as anywhere for the notable people to sit and the adults to sit, but this young man had to climb up in the loft of the third level and sit in the windowsill. He worked to be there. He worked to get a place and to sit and listen to Paul preach, and he listened until midnight. How many of you could sit here and listen to me for 4 hours preach? I taught college in Virginia for years, where I met Jerry Boyce and Stephanie, and I would go up there and start preaching on Monday morning. For 3 hours, I taught the entire student body of the college for 3 hours, and no questions. It was videoed, so in case somebody had to take a summer school class, and then a 10-minute break between classes, they could come up and ask questions, and then I could address them at either right then or in the class period or whatever. And they took a couple of tests, and they had memory verses, and they had a commentary to go along with the course that I was teaching. And I would have to prepare a 100-page fill-in-the-blank syllabus for them to use for that week. And the college would print them, and it was 3 straight hours of teaching. I'm sure by the end of a week, after 5 days of listening to me for 3 hours a day, they were delighted for the weekend to come. Now, Paul knew these people may never hear him again. He had some feeling, as prophets had told him, that he would go to Jerusalem and he would be taken prisoner and he would be bound. But Paul didn't want to allow these things to deter him from what he believed was right for him to do. He was willing to give his life if that was necessary. If we'd book an evangelist and print a bunch of flyers and put it in the newspaper and have him come and preach, and he'd preach till midnight, he'd never have another crowd the next night. He might as well leave. This young man fell out dead. He was tired. He was sleepy. He slipped into a deep sleep and fell. Now, what an ending for the meeting, that Paul falls on him and says his life is in him. Like Elisha of old, who laid down upon the widow's son and raised him from the dead, like Elisha with the great woman of Shunem's son, and Elijah with the widow of Zarephath's son, both raised them from the dead by the power of God. Now Paul's doing the same thing here. Wasn't a trick, wasn't CPR. It was a miracle of God in response to prayer. The goal in preaching the gospel is for men and women to hear and make a choice to believe on Jesus Christ and make a choice to grow in maturity for service for God, to be prepared and equipped for when the Lord comes, so that we hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's stand together, please. Through faith, we're granted everlasting life in Christ. New life is in Christ. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you have life in Jesus Christ today? If not, why don't you make that choice and decision to come and let us take the Bible and show you how to believe on Him before you leave here today. Father, we give these folks to You. The flock belongs to You. And we're just doing our best to feed the flock today. Help them, equip them, encourage them, and lead them into decisions they need to make. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.